Welcome to The Forum, the program that educates, motivates, and advocates on behalf of our listeners. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare. We have two guests today. Yolanda Wallace is in our studio to tell us about an event at the John Buckley Memorial Garden, an event for the whole family with an emphasis on our children. And Arnitria Shaw, the Vice President of Workforce and Diversity for Illinois Central College, sits down with WPNV's Devin Foster to talk about the new college semester. But first, my interview with Yolanda Wallace. She's here to tell us about a healing day of play at the John Buckley Memorial Garden coming up on Saturday, August 26th. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Gary.
All right. So this is a free family event. And I'm looking at a flyer in front of me. You got some sidewalk chalk. You got the story time. You got planting. You got all kinds of stuff going on. Tell us the idea behind this.
The idea behind this is that children need to have play. It's part of their development. So if they don't have play, that's the way they do their problem solving. That's the way they, work out their emotions and feelings and things like that. And that's the way they can also become creative. So without play, I don't know what they can do. I was recently reading an article that the United Nations lists play as one of the basic rights of every child.
And a basic right. A child has a right to play. Wow. Now let's back up a little bit, because when I talk to you, I'm assuming that people should know about the John Buckley Memorial Garden, but we should always, by way of introduction, let people know that this was the garden that you founded after your son was tragically killed. He was a victim of gun violence in Peoria some years ago. And this is a place behind the River Plex where people come, always beautifully maintained. And this is really a nice therapy spot. I mean, it's right there by the river.
You can reflect and look, sit on the bench and look into the Illinois River.
And you've had many events there for that very purpose. And so you're having another event Saturday, August 26th. As we mentioned, it's a free event. Tell us more about what's going to be there.
This day is really targeted towards the whole family. So there'll be, like you said, the sidewalk chalk, story time, sensory play, planning.
I see World on Wheels.
The World on Wheels will be there. So will Mothers War on Violence. And the Illinois AEYC is who is sponsoring this program. Actually called the Heart of Illinois
Association for the Education of Young Children. I'm familiar with them. Now, the last time I collaborated with you out there, it was great.
That was last year.
Oh, man.
And Gary, that was the very first year that we had an event at the John Buckley Memorial Garden.
It was awesome.
Aimed towards healing and playtime with children and their families.
Yeah, that was a great event. PCCEO. Yep. You got caregiver connections.
Yep.
Now, I wanted to explore this concept, this early childhood mental health consultants, because you've been in the mental health field and helping with people coping with grief, coping with loss. And children, you've often said, are forgotten in that process. Expound on that.
Well, a lot of times we are looking so much at the parents and how they're going to put their lives back together. And we tend to forget that the children are traumatized as well. And they have seen some things and they have to endure without mom or dad or uncle or cousin and relatives, and they need to have a way to process all those different feelings. Sometimes children act out of their anger, which is a part of one of the stages of grief, and acceptance and denial. They go through all those things that we do too, but we need to be able to have an outlet for them to be able to enjoy themselves. This is what this place is here for, and guess what? It will be there for generations to come.
You're right. A lot of times people will say, oh, well, the mother lost the son or the mother lost the daughter or the dad or the aunt or the grandma is grieving. But that son Or that person who was lost may have had a little brother.
That's right.
Or a little sister. Mm-hmm. And that little 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old is missing their big brother.
Right.
And this is the guy that they looked up to and the one who they shared the mm-hmm. room with and the bunk beds mm-hmm. and who used to tickle them and mm-hmm. and call them knucklehead and play ball with and stuff like that. And so mm-hmm. the little kids are grieving as well.
That's right. And then when you think about what the parents are already going through, and then, you know, what if, because like there was, are some kids, that's one of the number one highest rates for the death of a child these days is homicide right now in Peoria. And so when you think about them kids are left behind, how are they going to go on? We need to have something so that they can feel still included, so they can still feel loved. At this event, we won't be talking about those type of things, but we will be talking about the five senses type thing. So that's why we've got our mental health consultant who's specifically targeting for children. And we got the PCCO Head Start, and they're 0 to 3. So, you know, these kids, these babies, they have memories from when they were way young. Now, sometimes as we get older, we suppress those memories. I mean, Gary, I can think about you and I and some things that happened to us when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
We may not remember every single thing, but I do remember when
the
I was a kid. There are some traumatic things that happened that I will never forget.
Right.
You know, the thing about these kids is that if we're talking about changing our community around, we need to start where the kids are. Okay, we need to start right now with the little kids, continuing to grow, you know, to you know, help them in their development to become a whole lot better adult than what some things that we have now.
One of the things that I liked about the event that I attended was that you did have the fun stuff for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
You had little coloring books.
Last year there was a puppet.
You had all of that. But mm-hmm. as you mentioned, there were tables where you had these mental health professionals. You
mm-hmm.
had people from PCCEO. You had police department. You had some other caregiver connections folks who were mm-hmm. there where the parents, their kids could be playing and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you could pick up some pamphlets and pick mm-hmm. up some flyers and talk to some people
Body.
On the
mm-hmm.
side. So that's kind of the idea, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. The John Buckley Memorial Garden is a community serving garden. It's a flower garden, and it's just time for us to utilize it on a much more consistent basis. So doing something to have to do with kids, it's an awesome thing to do. Last year, we also had the therapeutic pets that were there.
Mm.
You know, that's even healing for kids to just to have a pet to stroke. How many kids you know that just don't even have a pet? All these things that the kids need to mature, to grow, to develop properly, sometimes they're deprived of it because mom or dad could be grieving about things. You know, some older teenagers, you know, because this event is not just for the small kids. It's for all kids. So, you know, the smaller kids couldn't get on the world of wheels, you know, and get
Segways.
On those Segway things. That would be more for our older kids.
Yeah.
And this is a free event. Like I said, they can plant a flower in the memory of their loved one there, or they can just plant just because of planting. No one has to really specify what this place is because we already know what it is. But we want them to have sensory play. So they're going to have making Play-Doh or, you know, stuff like that. And then I've got journals. Journals are great for grief for teenagers and young adults. And, you know, I've used journaling in my own time. And sometimes I still have to go back to it. If there's something real deep that, you know, maybe I just can't talk about it right now. Maybe
right.
I can't tell Danny about what I'm feeling, but I can write it down. Maybe I can't tell Gary or Denise,
mm-hmm.
but I can write it down in a journal. that right there is very therapeutic.
You know, something that I got into a few years ago was adult coloring books.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's therapeutic.
I have one. I'm going to show you one. Now, this is radio, so the people can't see it, but you'll see it.
Okay.
But I was in Chicago at one of my favorite hangouts, and they had an African diaspora coloring book.
Wow.
And so it's pictures of Cuba and Haiti and Brazil and other countries in Africa. And man, it's awesome.
Wow.
Awesome stuff. Okay,
therapeutic.
So Saturday, August 26th from 11 to 12:30, and this is free at the John Buckley Memorial Garden behind the Riverplex, right? And so you're inviting people to come out. Now, I'm going to mention this information again.
Okay.
But I want to get you, while I got you in the studio, I want your thoughts on a couple of things. The fight in Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, my goodness.
You and I grew up in the King era, so we're not violent people.
Right.
But you know, a lot of people are like, this was one time where you didn't mind seeing black people whooping up on some people. I'm not sure.
I don't know if I like that. No.
I don't know if I like that or not. How do you feel about it?
I felt like where they were at was a very historic place. So
Montgomery.
Yeah.
Rosa Parks.
I know. That's why I said. So I don't really feel like that, you know, it was that we need to go that far. But I know sometimes there are situations. And remember, Gary, I used to be over the Racial Harmony Group here in Peoria. So, you know, I know there's sometimes that we don't see eye to eye, because of our race and because of slavery and because of things that have happened in the past. But I can't tell you all the time that I feel like, you know, we need to be having drag out knockouts, because what's that saying to the next generation? You know, it's almost like they're throwing out the window the nonviolent protesting. You know what I mean? I don't know. Should we now our society, I think, in this particular case,
when you see three people jumping on somebody.
Right. It's mob action is what it's called.
And so now the first black guy on the scene, if you watch the video, it seemed like he was just trying to pull people off and break it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get off of this guy, leave this guy alone. But when the other black people got off the boat, then it was like, okay, forget about breaking it up. We're getting ready to come to Pop's defense. And whoop up on you.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
But it speaks to a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, I think, alluding to this before I cut you off. The climate in the country.
It's changed.
It's changed. And a lot of people blame the former president, you know, for the rhetoric and how, you know, he's got people dandered up and feeling emboldened and this sense of white privilege where people feel like they can be a Karen and tell you anything and dismiss you and whatever. And so it's really kind of a scary time when you think about it, especially we're going into the 2024 election. You got these trials happening. People are tense. And so when I saw the video, it's like, okay, this looks like a flashpoint for the racial climate in our country. And I just hope cooler heads prevail in the future.
That's nicely said, Gary, because right now I've mentioned and said before in my podcast, Mother's War on Violence, that I feel like we're raising a whole bunch of, we're not teaching to turn the other cheek anymore. We're teaching stand up for yourself, you know, do something about it. Don't let them bully you. And now I think that, yeah, it's... the climate has changed. I mean, where's the days of the empathic person are gone almost. They're just about gone. Mm-hmm. And most of that is kind of left in the generation of the older generation. Some of the generation before the baby boomers, because most of the civic generation is gone. Mm-hmm. And now you got my generation, and anything that's Gen X and anything under us is... Yeah. They ready to fight at the drop of the hat. Yeah. Well,
or the toss of the hat.
Yeah, or the right. toss of the
hat. All right. So yeah, we'll be hearing much more about this from a lot of other folks. But again, Yolanda Wallace inviting you to a healing day of play at the John Buckley Memorial Garden, Saturday, August 26th from 11 to 12:30. Bring the whole family out. All kinds of fun activities and resources for the family. For more information, you can go to jbmemorial1@outlook.com. That's jbmemorial1@outlook.com. Or you can follow her on Facebook for rain cancellations, John Buckley Memorial Garden. Anything you wanted to impart that we didn't talk about?
No, I just, like I said all the time, we need to pray and get back to keeping God's commandments, because I think that I'm referring to the situation in Alabama, and I'm thinking about racial harmony. Somebody told me that goes in line with the multicultural world, and I don't see us there anymore. And now I'm just like, you know what? I'm okay being me, and they can be okay being them. I'm okay with them being them. Okay. But at the same time, I also know that, we're tired and we don't want to take much stuff anymore. So thank you for having me, Gary.
Thank you, Yolanda. Always a pleasure to see you. And now here's WPNV's Devin Foster.
Hello. We are joined with Arnitria Shaw, Vice President of Workforce and Diversity for Illinois Central College. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So the school semester is about to start. Is there any general advice that you have for students, and where should they be about at this stage?
So most students, especially college students, should be at the stage where they're, first of all, excited. But number two, making sure that their scholarships and or financial aid is in order. That means checking in with the school you're planning to attend and making sure that you don't have any verification documents or anything on a checklist that they want you to submit before they release your financial aid funds. Mm-hmm. You also want to make sure that any medical records that you need to get turned in, you get those turned in. And also make sure you're getting a planner and looking at what your schedule is going to look like. One of the best tools you can have is a planner, getting that all filled in with the dates and times you have classes and when you plan to study will help you to be prepared for when things kick off and even when things get pretty hectic.
Right. Yeah, so that was some stuff that I wish I knew when I first got into college as someone who just graduated. That was something that I really struggled with using an agenda book.
Yeah.
And it's something that all students should definitely practice because it does help. But before I ask any more questions, do you want to give us a little bit more about what you do and what your everyday work day looks like?
Okay. So as I mentioned before, I'm the Vice President of Workforce and Diversity at Illinois Central College. So I'm proud to be able to work in a part of the college where we focus on people in transition. So it could be students who are transitioning from high school to college. Mm-hmm. It could be people who are looking to shift gears in terms of careers. It could be people who are looking to go back and complete a GED and then move on along a career path, or maybe even go into a trade. So my day-to-day really encompasses working with grants and other funding to make sure that we can provide those type of opportunities for the neighborhoods and cities within District 514, which is our community college district. I work quite a bit with people who are boots on the ground and out recruiting students for various workforce programs, but also working with students who want to get ahead while they're in high school through dual credit efforts or different TRIO programs. So to me, I work in one of the most exciting parts of the college because I get to make sure that those funding opportunities continue, and I get to support the directors and managers of those different programs.
That's awesome. So we all know that community colleges offer a wide range of options for students. Tell me about some of the creative academic plans that you have.
So at ICC, one of the things I like to remind people is that ICC in many ways is also a trade school. So of course we are very well known for our ability to help students knock out those gen ed courses before they transfer to a four-year college, or even to get a certificate or a credential that lets them go directly into the workforce. But oftentimes, you know, I'll talk to students and they say, well, college isn't for everyone. I'm going to go to trade school. And I encourage people to stop thinking about schools as like these singular things. It really is a matter of what do you want to do and where do you want to get the skills to do it. So, for instance, if you want to do HVAC or welding or truck driving, we have those programs at ICC as well. And oftentimes, you know, through our tuition being relatively low, it can be a very affordable option. So I'm excited about those programs. I'm also excited about our dual degree program that we piloted with Peoria Public Schools, but it's actually available through multiple districts where high school students can complete the last 2 years of high school and their associate's degree simultaneously.
Wow.
So we've had cohorts of students graduating over the past 3 years who are able to go into their four-year college having already knocked out 60 credit hours and a lot of times saving money because, you know, college is expensive and we want to help people save money in whatever way we can.
Okay. So tell me some of the biggest mistakes that you've seen students make when choosing an academic plan and or a career path.
Some of the biggest mistakes that I've seen students make are, first of all, not taking their academics seriously. And this, surprisingly, this usually happens to really smart students. You know, you were really smart. You studied a little bit in high school. You were able to get good grades. College is a whole different game. As you know, as a recent graduate, you know, you may only have class three times a week.
Right.
But the expectation is that you're spending 3 to 6 or if not more hours outside of class working on those things you learned in class.
Right.
So I think not taking it seriously and not managing time, that's probably the biggest mistake. A lot of students will think, well, you know, I'm only in class from 9 a.m. to 12 noon now. So, you know, I've got all this free time. You know,
no,
and I
don't.
Know.
No, you don't.
You do not have free time. Do not fill that time up with working. Do not go in and tell your boss, hey, I've got all this availability, because that's the time you're going to need to go to the library. That's the time you're going to need to study, type papers, do group work. So I think really taking it seriously and managing time, those are the two biggest pitfalls. If you can get a jump start on doing that well, the rest of it will fall into place.
I agree. I also think another big thing that you might not have mentioned, but we all know is very important, is going to office hours.
Yes.
Making sure that you, you know, have a relationship with your professors, because you just never know when they will do something for you that you needed.
Yes. Office hours, it's like the best kept secret. I was an adjunct English instructor at ICC before being in this role. And office hours, mainly, you know, it's when the instructor is sitting there and they've set aside time that every week they're going to be in that office waiting for you. And so often, no one would come to my office hours. And that was a free opportunity to get me to read your paper. It's like getting a, you know, a free grading before it's actually due. So yeah, office hours are vital. And it also lets your instructor know that you really do care about your grade and you really want to accept that type of guidance.
Right. For African-American students, many times their journey to college is the first in their family. What kind of counseling and mentoring programs do you guys have?
So at ICC, we have our TRIO Student Support Services Program, and people will tell you TRIO works. People love TRIO. TRIO Student Support Services targets specifically first-generation students, low-income students, or students with any type of documented disability. So you don't have to have all three, either any one of those categories. But really, in targeting those first-generation students, first in your family to go to college, mm-hmm. we help students to figure out, number one, how college works. Mm-hmm. Because people in a college setting, we speak college-ese. You know, we're talking about FAFSA this mm-hmm. and credit hours that. And that those types of words don't always make sense if you're not used to being in that environment.
Right.
So a big part of what TRIO does is help break down what the college process is. And those the folks in TRIO will hold your hand and literally walk you through step by step, completing FAFSA, getting your bookstore ordered, even picking out classes that best fit your life and your interests, mm-hmm. helping you to get career advice and even financial literacy. You know, don't take out this loan. Make sure you're doing this way.
Right.
So that's one of the biggest resources we have. And I also think one of the great things about TRIO and another program we have, which is called Harvesting Dreams, which is for African-American students, just to build belonging and relationships.
Okay.
It's important to have people you can relate to who are on that same journey.
Definitely.
And building that type of cohort helps students to get through.
Yeah. So as we know, it's hard to talk about school without talking about the recent Supreme Court decision on affirmative action and enrollment.
Yes.
So what impact do you think it will have or is already having?
So I think some of the impact that we will be facing is, unfortunately, there are still institutions that have multiple barriers that prevent marginalized people from accessing those opportunities. One of the best discussions I had about this with a friend was, if it really was time for us to get rid of affirmative action, then equity would be represented in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not producing employees and professionals at an equitable rate, then we still need affirmative action.
Right.
I think the impact is going to be society is going to miss out on some very bright folks
mm-hmm.
who, for whatever reason, not having a legacy or not having family members who attended an institution before, are now going to be once again marginalized away from that opportunity.
Right.
However, I am looking forward to those bright lights still shining
mm-hmm.
and figuring out the best institutions for them and for us to support those institutions that actually are committed to breaking down barriers and are still committed to equity and belonging.
Right. So I know I've asked you some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any topics that I might not have asked you about that you want to speak on?
Can't think of anything off the top of my head, but is it okay if I ask you a question?
Sure.
So I would want to know, one of the things I'm always interested in, I jokingly say I'm old, but I do know that, you know, sometimes you get a little removed from what the actual student experience is.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to ask you, what was your higher ed or college experience like? And what would you want someone in my role to know
mm-hmm.
or be aware of as we, you know, go out for funding opportunities and try to support students?
Right. So I just went to Bradley, just graduated from Bradley with a majoring in sports communications.
Congratulations.
So thank you. Thank you. So I honestly had a great time. I will say that I did struggle a lot early on trying to figure out how to manage my time properly.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to go to a high school that did actually block out classes, and I didn't have the same classes every day.
Okay.
Being back from Chicago, I went to Lindblom.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You're an Eagle.
I am.
I'm an Eagle.
Yeah, there
swoop.
It is.
92.
Swoop, swoop. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Class of 19.
This is amazing.
I know.
I'm talking to a baby Eagle. Oh, my gosh. You just warmed my heart. Lindblom is a magical place.
It is.
It really is.
Yeah. But I definitely learned a lot from there and was able to take it to college.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, for people in your positions, for the people that were in your position at Bradley, they mm-hmm. did a great job of making sure that we had the right amount of like opportunities to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
They were always looking out for us to make sure that we were doing what we were supposed to be doing, when we were supposed to be doing it, how we were supposed to be doing it, making sure that we weren't just out doing silly teenage stuff and young mm-hmm. adult stuff.
Mm-hmm.
but just making sure we had the opportunities to express ourselves, especially on a campus that isn't, there aren't a whole lot of Black people. And so giving us the spaces to feel welcome and to be happy. So I would say continue to, you know, offer those spaces, because they do really benefit the students that actually use them. And if you do happen to see students that you don't see often in those spaces, continue to invite them, because that's the only way that they'll actually utilize that space.
That's good to know. That's good to hear. I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing that too.
No problem. Thank you for asking me the question. But that's about all the time that we have. So I do want to thank you so much for taking the time to come talk to us and give us all the knowledge that you've given us. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. This is Devin Foster with WPNV. You all have a good one.
Thank you, Devin. And you've been listening to The Forum on WPNV. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare. The Forum airs at 10 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. Sunday. We want to leave you with a quote from novelist Alice Walker, who said, "The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any." Thanks for listening.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead.